KBOO News In Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
The Oregon legislature concluded its 2021 session at the end of June, as much of the state saw record-breaking triple-digit temperatures. At the end of the session, a suite of three bills backed by the Clean Energy Opportunity Campaign passed into law and take Oregon to the cutting edge of clean energy commitments. The bills address a variety of interconnected issues, from the need for more affordable utility bills to preparing for 100% clean energy with an eye towards environmental and racial justice. House Bill 2021 passed on June 26th. It requires electricity providers in Oregon to use 100% clean sources by the year 2040. That puts Oregon on track to have the fastest clean energy transition in the country, on par with New York State. House Bill 2842 passed on the 26th as well. It creates a home repair grant program for low-income Oregonians to get energy efficiency upgrades. House Bill 2475 passed both houses back in May. It allows for energy discounts for low-income people and provides greater participation in energy decision-making for BIPOC, rural, and frontline communities. I spoke with two members of the Clean Energy Opportunity Campaign to learn more.
My name is Nikita Daryanani. I use she, her pronouns, and I am the Climate and Energy Policy Manager at the Coalition of Communities of Color, which is an alliance of culturally specific community-based organizations in the Portland area and surrounding areas. And we've been part of the Coalition of Environmental Justice Organizations leading the Oregon Clean Energy Opportunity Campaign, and are really excited about the three bills we were able to pass. As a policy manager, I was helping with policy development. I was helping at the start of that process, shape that policy, and then also working really closely with the other folks, the other environmental justice organizations who are helping leading the campaign, to make sure that we were aligned on our priorities and understood the policy and that it aligned with the needs and priorities of the folks that people work with throughout Oregon.
Yeah, and my name is Nick Johnson. I am the executive director of Lake County Resources Initiative, a small nonprofit organization located in rural southeastern Oregon. I got involved with it because Lake County has a reputation or a record of being very successful in large utility scale solar development in a very rural part of the state. So I was bringing some of those insights and lessons learned and just potential impacts or just a different perspective from rural eastern Oregon to the table and just kind of bringing a new perspective.
The suite of bills have broad implications. It's not just energy companies that are impacted. Individuals will see change too. Nikita explains some of these impacts.
So for HB 2475, so this is a bill that allows utilities to consider environmental justice factors or social equity factors or energy cost burden, which is just the percentage of your income that's spent on energy bills. It'll allow utilities to take that into consideration when they're coming up with how much people pay for electricity and what those rates look like. So yes, that passed this session, and so I think we'll see new rates next year. And for HB 2021, the utilities and the electric companies are required to come up with these plans for how they're going to comply with the 100% clean energy standard. And so we'll see those plans at the beginning of next year as well. And hopefully we'll see the start of the community energy project from that $50 million, hopefully in the next year or so too. And yeah, so Nick and his organization leads the development of projects in Lake County like that. So I think hopefully we'll see more projects similar to him and his organization lead throughout Oregon with that $50 million. And then hopefully also that can just be a start, you know, and that there can be more funding for localized community-based energy projects like that throughout Oregon. And so in the next few years, hopefully we'll see that, I think, ramping up. And like I said, I think HB 2021 sets a really good foundation and sets us up really well for more projects like that. And so I think what we can expect is that new electricity rates in the next year, and really ramping up community-based renewable projects as well. So I think that itself can also it can also create jobs, and so I think we'll see a huge ramping up of the jobs created as well in Oregon for all three of the bills. So healthy homes also will create jobs through the actual retrofits of homes that'll be able to that are funded by the program. So I think that there are plenty of benefits that Oregon will be able to see in the next few years.
Yeah, and I completely agree. There's going to be a lot of opportunities and just a better opportunity to make choices for the consumer about where they're sourcing their energy and so on and so forth. But one opportunity that really sticks out to me and really excites me is that, you know, this has kind of laid the groundwork for starting conversations between Eastern Oregon and Western Oregon about working together to, like I mentioned earlier, partner up and tackle climate change together. And specifically, an opportunity that excites me is for organizations like mine in rural Eastern Oregon who develop these kinds of projects, but do it from a place where we're trying to mitigate any impacts to land, any impacts to people, or just any impacts whatsoever. And think about this for the long-term benefit and the long-term impacts. An opportunity like this allows us to partner with some of those more urban organizations and potentially even like on a neighborhood by neighborhood level with communities in Portland and, you know, look at even hosting projects in our county directly for folks, say in Portland or more urban parts of the state. You know, a lot of times in urban areas, you don't have the land resources necessary to host these kinds of projects. But in rural Eastern Oregon, we certainly do. So it creates an opportunity for us to build those relationships between Western and Eastern Oregon and work together for everybody's benefit.
The clean energy bills are also unique because they address the racial equity aspect of environmental justice. Black people, Indigenous people, and people of color have been historically excluded from energy decision-making and the benefits that can come with expanding investment into clean energy jobs. Nikita explains the unique worker protections in HB 2021 that aim to change that.
But we were able to get the strongest labor standards in HB 2021, which is the 100% clean energy standard, the strongest labor standards in the country. So other states throughout the U.S. have clean energy standards as well, but we have the strongest labor standards, which is really impressive. So what that means is requires that a certain number, a certain percentage of the work hours are done by folks from these groups and veterans and folks with disabilities as well, to make that clean energy workforce and that clean energy industry just more equitable and have those jobs more accessible to folks who historically haven't been represented in that industry, and then requires that the folks working on clean energy projects too are paid good wages, have health benefits and retirement benefits and training opportunities, and that folks in training opportunities can then get jobs. So, really excited about that. And then another really exciting component of the HB 2021 policy is that it bans the expansion or new siting of any new natural gas or fossil fuel power plants, which again is also the first would be the first in the nation. So really exciting that Oregon can be a leader on these things. And those are just some of the things I think that were added in, and there are definitely a lot of really great parts to the bill too. So some other really great components.
Yeah, and to build off of that, you know, Nikita, as you said, there's some really forward thinking policy put forth in this bill. But what's really exciting to me is the $50 million that have been put forth for community renewable projects. We're really excited to hopefully take advantage of that and look at building some projects across Eastern Oregon and in rural communities that provide resilience benefits and safety benefits to these communities as well.
The success of the Clean Energy Opportunity Campaign relied on support from a number of community groups. Nick and Nikita credit this heavily in the bill's success.
So I think a huge reason why the three bills and the Oregon Clean Energy Opportunity Campaign as a whole were so successful this year is because it really involved a quite broad range of folks and stakeholders at the table, and folks who haven't been at the table before. So we have the utilities and labor groups and environmental justice groups and developers all at the table together to come to an agreement, at least on HB 2021 and what that looks like, and largely the other two bills as well. And so I think that another like really important reason why these were so successful is just because environmental justice was at the center of the campaign. It wasn't just an afterthought. So the campaign was led by rural and BIPOC-led or frontline-led community organizations throughout Oregon. Like I said, working with folks directly in those areas, leading the campaign and leading the policy development. So I think it really shows that, you know, when we center the needs and priorities of folks most impacted by energy or climate policy, that we can really see, we can see really great results and build a more equitable clean energy and climate future.
Yeah, and it's hard to top that. I think you really nailed it there, Nikita. But just to reiterate, you know, it really was an effort that involved a really diverse and large group of stakeholders. You know, it was a collaborative process, for a lack of a better term. There was a ton of outreach and a ton of engagement and a ton of opportunities for anybody to participate and state their thoughts and their opinions and try to discuss those with the greater group. So that was really great to see in this process. It's I've never quite seen anything like it before, so it was very very positive and great.
I'll add that if you go to our website, cleanenergyoregon.org, which is a campaign website, there is a list of all of the partners who were part of the campaign or supportive of the campaign. And just looking through those logos, it's very clear that so many different groups, environmental groups and advocates and environmental justice groups and even local municipalities like cities and counties were part of this process. So just glancing at the logos that are on the website, you can see the sort of broad, really broad, like widespread support from all different kinds of groups.
The legislation was an opportunity for disparate groups to come together on a shared goal, clean energy to protect our climate future. Nikita and Nick explain what part of the legislative process was most meaningful to them.
I think that as the legislative session started early this year and as it had ramped up, I think something that I found, I mean, I think overall being part of the campaign was really exciting. Really, it was obviously new to me. I mean, a campaign like this hadn't been done before. But I think what I found really, really special and that I loved having been able to witness was just the incredible public testimony at legislative hearings for these bills. So we had community members join public hearings when they were in committees throughout the legislative session and shared some really, really powerful stories about their communities and also just thinking about the past even just year and a half in Oregon and what that's looked like for a lot of people, wildfires and really awful air quality due to the wildfire smoke. And wildfires that have led people to lose their homes, and ice storms and you know, an economic crisis and public pandemic. So there's just so much that's happened over the past year. And so I think those stories from community members that they were able to share at legislative hearings were really, really powerful and really connected well to the policy that was at hand. There are definitely, I think, parts of that were really touching and moving. I guess I guess that's another part of a virtual legislative session is having folks from all over the state be able to participate in hearings like that.
Yeah, and I think maybe the most obvious answer is, of course, just seeing all three of these bills get passed. That was pretty exciting and really satisfying to watch. But you know, kind of beyond that, as a very rural nonprofit, you know, something that we focus on a lot is the urban-rural divide in Oregon, and it's something that's starting to gain more and more attention. And this effort from all these different groups, you know, that included organizations like LCRI that hadn't been included in these processes before was really awesome to see. You know, we saw this teamwork on a statewide level. You know, I met many new folks and made many new friends and formed many new, you know, partnerships with my organization between other organizations and more urban parts of the state, and seeing that urban-rural divide kind of start to close a little bit meant a lot to me. And you know, I think that if we're going to continue to try to make you know, have a tangible impact on mitigating the impacts of climate change, we really need to focus on forging that urban-rural divide and that urban-rural partnership and relationship.
Though the success of the legislation is still fresh, there is still a lot of work to be done, an improvement the state can make in the fight for an equitable and sustainable future. Here's Nikita.
I think on my end, I think the last week and a half, I think, in Oregon with the unprecedented heat wave and high heat and the deaths that caused statewide, I think that we're really facing the climate crisis head on. Like it is here. So I think we should all hope to see stronger, just really robust climate action. I mean, hopefully at the state level and local levels in the next year, and really as soon as possible. So I feel like what I was really proud of, specifically with this campaign, is that I think it sets a really good foundation and sets us up really, really well for other climate policy and other action at the state level. So by setting a clean energy, by HB 2021 setting a clean energy standard, we're really setting ourselves up well for the state to be decarbonized. So I think that we're on a really, really great trajectory, and I hope that in the next year or so, I think to answer your question, on both the local and state levels, that we see really robust and equitable climate action that doesn't further harm communities who have been traditionally overburdened by land use policy or by the siting of particular plants, but that those communities can share in the benefits of what a just transition would look like, and I think that vision was really what was guiding us in the Clean Energy Opportunity Campaign, especially for 100% clean. And so I'd hope to see that vision continue on with other climate action and climate policy on any level, and making sure that the communities who are most impacted can have a say and can make decisions about their own communities. So that's what I'd hope to see.
Yeah, and I couldn't agree more with Nikita. She's nailing it. You know, I also believe that efforts need to be done on a local and a state level. We can't just have one. You know, we need to be facing this issue on as many different levels as we can and using local insights and knowledge to hopefully influence and craft policy on a state level that really has maximum benefit for everybody in the state of Oregon.
That's really well said. I think that the last piece about maximizing benefits for everyone is really important. There's so many benefits to be had. And so I agree that maximizing those for everyone is really key.
Information about the Clean Energy Opportunity Campaign, the Coalition of Communities of Color, and Lake County Resources Initiative can be found online.
So like I said earlier, I think checking out the website, cleanenergyoregon.org, and there you can find links to our social media where we post updates, and we were posting about the legislative session. And there's also more information about the bills and their three fact sheets on the website, and you can also sign up to receive email updates. And then for my organization, the Coalition of Communities of Color, you can also check out our website, coalitioncommunitiescolor.org, and I think you'll find links to our social media there, and you can kind of keep up with what we're working on, and keep up with us and the partners that we work with throughout Oregon there.
Yeah, and to learn more about Lake County Resources Initiative, you can visit us at lcri.org. And we were also recently featured in a documentary film titled Other Side of the Hill. And you can find out more about that film and that documentary at othersideofthehillmovie.com. And that really highlights the work we do in renewable energy development and the work that's been done here in Lake County in the past.
We've been speaking with Nikita Daryanani, the Climate and Energy Policy Manager at the Coalition of Communities of Color, and Nick Johnson, the Executive Director of Lake County Resources Initiative. They're both members of the Clean Energy Opportunity Campaign, which got three remarkable bills passed in the Oregon legislature this session. I've been Althea Billings with KBOO News In Depth. I'll leave you with a few closing words from my guests. Thanks for listening.
Well, one last thing. I think something that's just really important to highlight, if I hadn't highlighted it already, is that specifically the HB 2021 policies is just very deeply grounded in environmental justice principles. And it's also very achievable and ambitious. So I think, again, it shows us that when environmental justice is at the center or driving policy, that we can win. And that folks who are most impacted are experts of their community and know how to move forward and know what the solutions look like. And so I think that this campaign specifically really, really follows that vision and really like reflects community expertise. So I was just really excited to be part of that.
Well, very well said, Nikita. I have a hard time topping that or keeping up with that. I just want to thank you for the opportunity to chat about this with you today, and I just again want to emphasize the opportunities for teamwork and cross-state collaboration that these efforts present, and really hope that as a state, Oregon can continue to develop and craft policy with the input of all its constituents.